Okay, let's give a few more minutes for a few more people to arrive. Okay, well, we might as well get started. Thanks for coming along. I know everyone's just had lunch, so hopefully the food coma doesn't kick in too quickly. So our session today, I'm Scott Maynard, and this is Mark. I'm from UCFX, also a virtual TSP for Microsoft as well.
And I'm from Aruba Networks.
Okay, so our session today is on a little bit of QoS. We won't bore you too much with that. And Mark will go into the Aruba Networks and the SDN networking. So we'll get kicked off. So, obviously with Link and Wi-Fi, there's a lot more portable devices being used, iPhones, etc., mobile devices, laptops, in a lot of organisations. So the need for a good quality Wi-Fi is getting a lot more important. Obviously Wi-Fi itself has a lot of challenges. It wasn't initially designed for real-time traffic. We all know it's a shared medium as well, which is across the 2.4. It shares itself not just with wireless, but across other devices as well that can interfere with it. Obviously, the spectrum's limited. Like I said, it's not really designed for real-time data initially. It is getting a lot better. And it was deployed for access solutions rather than throughput solutions. So to fix that, best solution is obviously use optimized Wi-Fi. So we're talking SDN networking, QoS on the network, and best bet is to use a certified solution like Aruba as well. So QoS, what is QoS? So QoS, I'm assuming most of you here should know what it is, quality of service on the network. So it's a combination of a couple of different parts of the networking technologies, etc., that works. Why is QoS needed? QoS helps optimize your network for your voice traffic, essentially. So without QoS, you'll start experiencing traffic with your voice traffic, especially. You'll start noticing like jitter and that stuff in your voice, in your calls, and your link calls, especially. So it's always important that a decent QoS implementation is done. So QoS is end-to-end, so from the link client right through the network to the servers, QoS needs to be implemented. So from Link itself, we use policies within the Link to set QoS. We then need to rely on the networking team to set up their QoS side right. This is where SDN really helps in that regards. QoS helps guarantee the bandwidth across through the whole network, so the real-time traffic then is prioritised. So that enables the voice call to be a nice quality call. So with Link, we use a couple of methods for QoS. So we've got these things called DSCP markings. These are applied with GPOs within your domain. These manage the QoS from the Link side itself. So these mark the traffic and tells the network how to prioritise the voice calls and the Link traffic itself. So with Link, the general DSCP values we use for the voice is 46 DSCP marking, 34 for the video, and we don't always put markings on the signaling, but you can, but we generally use 24 for that. It's not as important, but the important one is 46 for the voice side and video for 34, so it gives it a nice quality call. I was going to talk a little bit more on QoS, but we've actually got quite a bit of SDN stuff to go through, so I'll hand it over to Mark now, and he can go on with the cool stuff that what it does.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, hi, everyone. So I'm going to spend a fair bit of time going into some wireless best practice for deploying Link, as well as a fairly deep dive into QoS and how it applies from the wireless side to the wired side. So hopefully you'll find it interesting. Starting off with looking at a successful Link deployment, obviously, this methodology applies to most things that we do, but I think number 4 and 5, the ones we want to really focus on in this session, looking at the enterprise rollout side of it and also the run state. The key here is that I think from our perspective, being an Aruba Networks being a premier wireless mobility vendor, where we're really focusing a lot on working with Microsoft and integrating with the SDN, the thing we bring to the network is what we call the four S's. And these really revolve around keeping the air very simple, secure, stable, and smart. Now, I won't go into great depth what they do. That's not an Aruba pitch. But importantly, stable air is really key. We've got to make sure that the environment we are delivering is very stable and solid and robust so that we can get good call quality. And wireless does have its challenges, right? I think we all understand that. We understand that in 2.4 gigahertz spectrum, for example, we're sharing it with Bluetooth, we're sharing it with microwave ovens, a whole stack of other things that can interfere. So we need pretty good intelligence to keep things stable in that regard. The other one is, how do you actually troubleshoot? Wireless in itself is very difficult compared to your typical wired network. Now, wired network, it's point A to point B, it's quite well defined, you've got dedicated bandwidth on a switch port. Wireless, on the other hand, you've got contention, you've got different applications, different devices all sharing the same medium. And so you need some pretty decent troubleshooting tools to visualise and understand what's going on. And that's, I think, where we can add a lot of value into the deployments by giving you those tools to make troubleshooting and managing these voice over Wi-Fi calls really, really easy. So if you can't see what's going on, you really can't fix it. So let's look at your typical network topology, right? You're going to have all kinds of complexities in your campus environment. You may have a large campus deployment of wireless access points with switches and core switches, and you may have smaller ones deployed in branches. So how do I get visibility of the various different flows in this call to understand how to troubleshoot? And that's, I think, really important to deploy. So I think what I'll talk about a bit later on is show you some of the management tools we provide so that when you are deploying Link and you are having some issues or you're trying to understand how it's performing, you've got visibility across the entire path, all the way from the end station that initiates the call right through back to the core infrastructure. You can really see end-to-end how the whole thing is performing. Okay, so let me first talk a little bit about the SDN API and why it's important. So the SDN API for Link that runs on the Link server, it provides some quite good information. For example, you get information about who initiated the call, what type of call it was. You get a lot of statistics about the calls and also call history. And that's great, but then you've got to map that into the network view as well, okay? So when you're looking at deploying a solution where you're using Aruba mobility controllers as your core wireless control infrastructure or our other Aruba products, they give you the visibility at the network level, layer one, layer two. For example, you're going to get deep packet inspection and you're going to get ALG functionality in those controllers. You get a lot of statistics and diagnostics, okay? So when I marry the two together, what I really get is those two things combined. So I get the information that the Link SDN provides, and I can marry that onto the wireless. So I'm going to get information such as real-time monitoring of voice and video calls that are Link initiated. I'm going to get the ability to isolate faults, locate where the faults are, and look at performance issues. I can also then look at client device issues and even root cause diagnostics. So I think it's important to understand that we are complementing each other very, very well. We're using information the SDN gives us to give us a very good view of what's happening end-to-end in the call flow and call process. Okay, what are some of the details? So from a QoS perspective, I'm going to just talk a little bit about how the old way and new way of doing QoS with and without the SDN. The controllers have a lot of capabilities to do packet marking and remarking, and I'll go into how that works a little bit later on in the presentation. However, we don't really, having visibility into what the Link clients are doing, it becomes hard to mark some of that traffic in the upstream and downstream direction. So we end up giving the same priority to all traffic. So we will mark everything as being voice call, even though it may be a video session or a chat session. And there are some challenges, right? And particularly with devices where you can't set QoS policy. So, for example, you can set good group policy for quals on laptops and so on, but if I'm using smartphones or tablets that don't have that ability, then I'm just stuck with best effort. So I've got to figure out a way to understand that traffic and market to the right level so it gets prioritised accordingly. Now, the idea of using the Link SDN and our infrastructure is to automatically elevate Link upstream downstream traffic. So the SDN tells us whether it's an audio stream, it's a video stream, it's a document share stream or a chat session. And we can look at that, and then we can remark the DSCP values on the wide network and map those to the wireless WMM. So this really gives us a lot of advantage and capability. And also, we can then get some of the reporting back from the SDN to give us good reports on MOS calls of the calls and get a good feel for how we're trending and how we're performing. This was a hidden slide in the presentation. Sorry, just these slides were taken out before. Apologies for that. We did a very last minute change, and I'm hoping we've got the right stuff in there. We've just missed about 30 slides out of the presentation. Oops. Can we get back to the old one? Is that still on here? Yeah, it is. Have I flicked the screen? Is that this one? So the rule is don't make last-minute changes to the presentation before you're about to present, because this often happens. But luckily the old one's still on here. We can go back to that. You were using the original one we gave and not the latest one. Yep, fair enough. Okay, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's it. Just go back to there. Okay, right. Right. Sorry about the small interruption. So, There's a couple of ways we can actually classify traffic from a wireless perspective, and we provide two methods of doing that. The first one is what we call the heuristics-based classification method, and this doesn't require the SDN per se. So we've got some intelligence built into the controllers and the infrastructure where we can look at the signalling and figure out that it's most likely a link call. And when we do that, we have, we're looking at, for example, an ACL that's defined to look at port 5061. We also have classify media configured inside the controllers that can automatically prioritise or remark that traffic when it's detected. So when a link call is established, it hits the ACL. We then look for the subsequent UDP flows, and we define it's an RTP session, and then we will set the appropriate service classes. So this is pretty good methodology, and obviously without the SDN, we don't have the luxury of getting that information sent to us. So if you're deploying something, for example, like Office 365, where you don't have SDN as an available service, this is the correct method to implement. Using the heuristics method of prioritising is the way to go. But if you have SDN, this is a typical architecture. You've got the edge server, you've got the SDN manager. Now, the SDN manager directly interfaces or talks to the Aruba Mobility Controller. It's a very simple configuration you do in the controller. You just basically tell it what the address of the link server is, set a couple of other parameters. And then once you've done that, whenever calls are initiated and calls are torn down, information is sent to the wireless system with the details of the call, duration, and so on. And we can then use that to do the automated marking of the traffic, and also we can use that for the reporting. So that's really the difference between the two methods. And then we use the SDN-based classification. So if you use that method of classification, it's a little bit different, okay? Because in this particular case, we configure the controller to talk to the SDN server. We understand what the call types are. We're told full details of the call types that have been set up. We can then automatically prioritise the traffic. This is a neat thing. With the SDN turned on, there's no need for you to configure complex QoS policies on the controller and figure out all the markings and everything else. Automatically, it's done through the controller, through the SDN interface, and that's really the neat thing about it. Different tags for desktop sharing versus video versus voice. At the end of each call, we get a QoE metrics, and we use those to report back on our management tool to give you full visibility into how the whole call flow is performing. So this chart tries to give you a bit of a snapshot, hopefully you can see that okay, between the features you get with heuristics method of classification versus the features you get with SDN API method of classification. So the key ones here you see on the right-hand side. Do you have a laser pointer on this thing? Anyway. So, for example, you're going to get a lot more troubleshooting information and call statistic information when using the SDN API for obvious reasons. And that's really, I think, very important. So if you do have the option to use the SDN, by all means, use it. And using it with our solution, you get a very tight integration with that information. Now, the details, the part I was missing before. So first of all, let's take a step back and look at, go back to the base level Wi-Fi design for voice. So there are certain differences when you're deploying wireless for data traffic versus voice and video traffic. And it comes down to primarily the density of the deployment. What you see here is that in a typical wireless deployment, you have a lot of access points. They make a cell with a certain signal strength. And it's pretty important that when you do your surveys or your desktop surveys to design for voice, you've got to give a fairly consistent coverage of negative 65 dBm or better. And this is done to make sure that the roaming works most efficiently and that you are going to get the best performance of voice. This would not be the same design you would use for data only. It would be probably at negative 75 approximately, so access points slightly further apart. But when you do it this way, you're going to ensure you're going to get a good enough signal-to-noise ratio for the voice. And in particular, it's pretty important you understand that it's very different running a link call on a laptop versus a smartphone, because inherently the SNR, signal-to-noise, is going to be lower for a smartphone versus a laptop, because the smartphones have a lower transmit power generally than a laptop does because of the battery issues. So on that basis, you've got to have a overall better coverage to support link on mobile devices versus laptops, okay? So this gives you an idea of how you do that. And of course, you've got your standard channel plan. Now, this is a channel plan for 2.4 gigahertz. Today, many devices, in fact, most devices support 5 gigahertz. We tend to deploy our infrastructure to always prefer clients to go to 5 gigahertz because it's freer spectrum, there's more capacity. But that in itself presents other challenges because the spread of the cell in 5 gigahertz is slightly lower or smaller than 2.4. So again, my initial design is critically important. Design for this sort of coverage in 5 gigahertz, and then you have to then do some tweaking to make sure the 2.4 gigahertz doesn't cause problems for itself as well. The 2.4 is used. Secondly, roaming behavior. Now, again, roaming refers to when a device moves between access points as you walk around the building. Obviously, when you're using link, particularly link over Wi-Fi, doing a voice call, the assumption is you're walking around, okay? So roaming is pretty important in that scenario. So it turns out that for the most part, this doesn't apply so much to laptops, more so to handhelds, because they are designed on the assumption that I will connect to a single access point in a hotspot and I will stay there for as long as I can. And on that basis, they don't roam very, very well. Now, we've seen dramatic differences in device types and how they roam from, you know, Apple, from Windows, whoever it is. They all behave very differently, and particularly we've seen things improve. They definitely have improved, but you know, quite often you'll get a device that just doesn't roam well at all, and this causes all kinds of issues. So this relates to the driver that's been used, how the driver's written. It also comes down to the infrastructure actually manages clients moving around. So we've got a couple of pretty interesting technologies that we have in the infrastructure that lets us steer clients, first of all, to the 5 gigahertz band. So whenever possible, we try and run the clients on 5 gig. Now, keep in mind that pretty much every smartphone out there today runs in 5 gig. They do both. They're dual band. They'll always try to connect to the stronger signal, being 2.4, because the drivers aren't that smart. But we can intelligently steer those clients away from 2.4 to the 5 gig, where there's more available bandwidth and less congestion. So we have overall better user experience, and that's what we try and do with that. And of course, we also want to make sure that we provide consistent load. There are a lot of metrics built into the solution, first of all, to do load balancing across APs, to do call emission control, all those kind of things that are important for voice calls. So this is a kind of a summary of enabling best practice wireless for voice. And I won't go through every one of these points, but I've covered some of those already. But a couple of key things to think about here is that obviously you want to make sure that you're going to provide load balancing across there. QBBS effectively is an element inside the beacon that's sent out that indicates the load on the access point. If that's supported by the device, that can help the device connect to a better access point. And we mentioned band steering. The last two points there are quite important, higher rate beacons and higher data rates. This, again, refers down to wireless design in that the access points send out beacons to try and advertise their availability at the lowest data rates. The lowest data rates implicitly means that they are sent the furthest. The higher data rates don't tend to go back as far. So if you want to reduce the size of the cell and reduce co-channel interference or contention, you tend to turn off the lower data rates to do that, particularly when you're doing a dense design for voice where you don't want to have too much overlap. You can do some of these tricks to try and minimise that. So they're pretty important. In case of roaming, there are a couple of things you can do to try and minimise roaming. Now, the first point there talks about you want to minimise the power difference between APs to avoid a client finding a hotter AP. What this means is that when a client is looking at its connection, it's basically measuring how strong is the signal on the access point I'm connected to. And the roaming algorithms tend to work in such a way where they say, if I can see an access point that's a stronger signal, I'll probably go and roam to that. Okay? Now, you can imagine if you've got a lot of access points visible, and you will have that visible in a dense deployment. There'll be access points visible. There'll probably be four or five access points visible from every location in the building. It can lead to a lot of flapping between access points if there's this delta. So when you actually enable the wireless system, what you do is you minimise the power gap. So that means that you tend to set the power range of the access points very, very low. So they can only really vary by, you know, several dB up or down, and this minimises the spread in potential signals that the clients can hear and improves roaming. That's pretty important to consider. There are other things as well we can do, tweaks, where we can effectively encourage the access point not to accept a roam request when a signal-to-noise ratio is above a certain level. In other words, if a client tries to connect to me but it's actually pretty far away and it's got a pretty poor signal, don't accept the connection. That also helps minimise the roaming. There's some things that we can do, and I won't go to any more of those because I'll probably be here for the whole hour. I've covered this before, okay, in the previous section. All right, so let's now go into a bit more detail about the quality of service and try and illustrate the differences between quality of service on the wired side versus the wireless side. It turns out that when wireless first actually enabled quality of service, that's when the 802.11e standard was implemented by wireless systems. It has four levels. That's also referred to as WMM, wireless multimedia. Now, contrast that to wired QoS. You've got two methods, DSCP and 802.1p. There are many other levels. There are more than just four levels in those particular QoS schemes. So therefore, you have to have some sort of mapping between the WMM, which the wireless device implement, and the wired side QoS. And also, it's pretty important to realise that we have two traffic directions, and this is quite important in the wireless side in particular, upstream and downstream, and that impacts how QoS is set based on the traffic flow as well. Again, less relevant on the wired side because you've got, you know, a higher bandwidth. It tends to be not shared in the same way it is by wireless. But on the wireless side, it's shared bandwidth, and you've got quite different RF operation for upstream and downstream traffic because when you think about it, traffic that is sent downstream, that means from the access point to the client, that traffic can be scheduled by the access point fairly intelligently and sent off to the clients. Traffic that comes upstream from the client to the access point tends to be unsolicited, and therefore you have to manage how that traffic is handled quite effectively. So it's different considerations for upstream and downstream traffic in that scenario. So this chart gives you a bit of a feel for how we map the various QoS categories or QoS service levels from WMM to .1P. So for example, in the case of voice traffic, we've got a category voice, and that's got a different designation. There is a little bit of overlap where you've got only four categories, no direct mapping of some of the other ones into there, so we tend to blend categories together in WMM. But it gives you a feel for how you do that, and there's obviously configuration you can set up inside the WAS controllers that does that mapping for you automatically, but it's something you've got to think about. Now, I've touched on this before. So I mentioned before that the idea is you want to be able to classify traffic that comes from the wireless side to the wired side, particularly if traffic is unmarked to start with. So this slide tries to illustrate how that happens. So we've got a controller in the middle. It's a little bit blurry, I'm sorry about that. Control in the middle. And what we see here is that on the top slide, traffic coming into the controller has not been tagged at all. Okay? But if I have policies set up in the controller, I can identify that traffic and I can then remark it as it comes out. But just so everyone's clear, so the controller would sit inside the data center. It connects to the access points across the wide network. So traffic is coming in from the clients into the access point, hitting the controller where it's been marked as it exits the controller. Okay. In this case, we've got a rule where we want to remap it. On the other hand, if traffic doesn't meet the policy, we just pass it through. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, the second thing to understand is we are able to also remark traffic as well if you want to do that. So if it turns out that the traffic that's already been marked comes into the controller and matches the policy we've set, then we just pass it through unchanged. But on the other hand, you may want to reprioritise traffic types for whatever reason that have been marked already, and you can also do that through the controller. You can remark it based on the policies you actually set. Okay, so the next few slides try and give you a feel for how the classification works in the various modes. So WMM mode, heuristics, and SDN. In the first case here, we've got an example where we've got WMM mode only. So here we have two clients, and neither client is actually marking the traffic in this case at all. Okay, so that client A sends some traffic, and it comes out with no marking, so it's best effort only. It hits the access point. It then is remarked as DSCP 24. Remember the marking from DSCP to WMM was unmarked on WMM and 24 on DSCP. And then, of course, that is transited through all the way back through, and then it comes back to the receiving client as marked as DSCP 24. Okay, so not much really happening there at all. That's WMM only for you, right? Now, if I'm using heuristics, remember heuristics is where we effectively turn on heuristics in the controller and say, for these certain traffic types, based on how you interpret the incoming traffic, remark it as per our policy. And in this case, we've set the heuristics up so that we want to be able to remark traffic as voice. So they're taking that as voice and remarking it. Remember, the traffic leaves the station unmarked, okay? So the traffic comes out as unmarked, hits the access point, is sent across the wide network as unmarked. But when it hits the controller, we see that, this is a linked voice call. So my policy says remark that back to voice 46, and then I return the traffic to the client marked as 46, and it gets across to the traffic that way. Okay, that's using the heuristics method. And by the way, these policies need to be configured to do this. It's not something that's automatic per se. But when I use the SDN API, it's a little bit easier, right? Because in this particular case, we can see it's a little bit different. So first of all, we'll go through the upstream case, then talk about the downstream case. In the upstream case, this is where I'm sending traffic from the wired network to the wireless network, okay? The traffic comes in. In this case, the client has not marked the traffic. It's a wired laptop talking to a wireless laptop. Traffic is unmarked. Hits the controller, and of course we've got the policy which says, if it's link and it's voice, right? And by the way, we're told that from the SDN API, automatically mark it as voice. So there you can see here that it's transited and sent across the wide network to the access point out to the client as voice. And again, the wireless client is not marking the traffic in this case again, and that comes through back as best effort. However, when it hits the controller, it comes back to the originating person also marked as voice. So in this scenario, we're able to recognise traffic coming in and out of the controller and mark it accordingly. Okay? It's similar for wireless to wired. It's the same sort of scenario. So in this case, we've got a wireless client that doesn't mark the traffic initially, so it's best effort coming in. It transits the wired network between AP and controller as best effort. It then gets marked accordingly, and the return traffic is marked accordingly as well. Okay. Now, the thing here is that this is all automated once the SDN API is turned on, because we're told which device is sending which kind of traffic, and we can automatically implement the appropriate policies in the controller to do this. So it makes implementing Link a lot easier, because all the marking is taken care for us through the SDN API. So let's now go into looking at management and how we can actually visualise this in a real environment. Anyone recognise this guy? Peter Drucker, very, very famous management guru. He has been known to say, one of his famous quotes, "What's measured improves." So the whole thing about using measurement and being able to visualise link calls over wireless is because we can measure things, we can make sure we can improve the performance, and we can also manage our networks appropriately. What we're seeing here is some of the typical information provided to users of the system, of an Aruba system, in terms of the charts and reports available for link calls. Now, there are a number of different shots I'm going to be showing you, but I think the key here is that we're reporting on the device types, the call frequencies, and the most important one, though, is this quality correlations, which is this chart on the top right-hand corner. The quality correlations is a chart that gives you, I think the next slide covers this, a really simple snapshot of how are my calls going, right? I can see just by looking at this chart if I've got a good voice performance or poor voice performance. What we're measuring here is on the right-hand axis, we're measuring client health against the call quality. Now, client health is a metric that we use to relate to how good is the client signal, okay? We use a metric in the wireless, in terms of the wireless connectivity, where we're saying, if I've got a client that has a maximum connection rate, for example, it's an 802.11n client, and that can connect to the network at 300 megabits per second. That's its maximum connection rate based on its wireless NIC card. If that's its maximum connection rate, what is its actual connection rate to the network? And that's an indicator of the client quality, okay, or the client health. So we're saying if it connects at close to its maximum rate, it's most likely very close to the access point. It has a very good signal-to-noise ratio, and therefore it's most likely a very good connection. And that's what client health is. As client health gets poorer, we know that the signal-to-noise ratio is lower, therefore the call quality and overall there might be some packet loss and latency, and things will not be as good. So in the red zone, that's the poor zone, that's most likely a Wi-Fi issue, because you're going to get poor signal, the noise ratio, probably drop packets, a lot of retries and so on. If I see those dots in the yellow area, it's probably not the Wi-Fi, it could be something else. We don't know. It could be something on the link, the SDN end or the network else. It's hard to know exactly, but it's most likely not Wi-Fi. Of course, things that are in the green, then all's good. We've got very good MOS scores, we've got very good client health, therefore the calls are going to be a very high quality. So it's very easy to see. And what I can do, and I'm not sure I showed on this slide here, but what I can do, I can hover over every one of those dots as a call and zoom into the metrics of that call. So if I do that and I click on that, I'm going to get an end-to-end view of the call flow. So what I can see through the management interface is that I've got a client. They're connected to a particular wireless network, an access point, a switch, a controller, and so on. And I get my call summary details here, right here for me to see. And remember, this has been sent to us by the SDN API. That's where this information comes from. And we correlate that with the wireless metrics. And what we see here is, for example, I've got no packet loss, I've got limited delay, I've got a very good score. Okay, so this is a good call, right? It's easy to see this, really easy. And this is quite important, I think, when you're trying to roll out, you know, Link on different device types, particularly smartphones. As well as giving you visibility just to Link, we also can show you visibility of all applications that are running. This is just a screenshot that gives you a feel for that. And you can see here we've got all kinds of applications that are running here. But in this one here, we've got Link Video as a categorization, Link Voice. So we can actually drill down into individual Link apps, not just Link itself, but the various components of Link, report and manage those individually. So how could I possibly troubleshoot quality of service or tagging issues? There are a couple of pretty useful charts here that actually let you do that. So we've got here a pie chart that shows quoz correction. And this is saying yes or no or unknown, right? So remember we're correlating that to call quality on the chart there. The various call volumes are shown as well. We've got here roaming, so there's no roaming issues there. And this one here is quads correction. This may tell us that there's been some remarking of packets and something that requires further investigation, because we have a cross correction occurring there. And you can see there that in the call quality chart, there are some calls that are in the fair category and some client health is not so good. So there could be some issues there that require further investigation. But the thing is, you can easily see this with these charts. As I go into a little bit more detail here, I can then do some more troubleshooting. I can look at the roaming, I can look at the call quality, and I can then begin to look at the usage trends and so on. We can also give you some pretty good visibility into call records and trends. Again, this comes from the SDN API. So what we can see here on the chart is we've got individual user trends, individual call records, so I can very easily go back and pull that information, right, and I can then go back and troubleshoot this, report on what's happening very, very easily. Another thing we really do, I think, which is quite important, is this is one of our charts from our management platform that tries to give you the simplest possible view of problems, right? So we thought about it, said, how can we represent potential client issues in the simplest possible way? Well, why don't we make good clients green and bad clients red? That's a pretty simple idea, right? But it's really that simple in terms of presentation, but the underlying methodology behind it is quite complex. And what this, again, shows you is by looking at a floor plan and looking at all the wireless devices connected to the particular floor at that particular point in time, you can very easily see clients that have good health and good connectivity, whereas clients in the red that are troublesome or may have issues to contend with. So by having this here, we can see on here you've got the usernames in the red, and then we can drill down and get all that additional data once we've got that visualization done for us. So as from a management perspective, it becomes really easy just to see how my network's performing, how my wireless calls are performing by these views that we actually give you. So I think I've tried to summarise this slide, what I'll be speaking about for the last 10, 15 minutes. You've got end-to-end visibility, you've got obviously higher uptime, and you've got improved mobility. And of course, the net result, you want to get happy users. That's what it's all about. So making it possible to deploy Link, making it possible to run Link, not only on laptops, but also on smartphones and tablets. I'm giving you the ability that to automatically understand the call flow through the SDN API and automatically do the quoz markings for you, rather than having to build complex policies and configure ports on the various devices to do that. And that's really what it's all about. So ultimately, it's about cutting the cord and entering a world of untethered mobility. And that's really, really what it's all about. Okay, so in summary, we do have a number of tools and resources available for you if you're interested to look further. We have an email address. You can email us for questions. We also have a couple of design guides. We have one design guide that's available on our public website that is an exact link SDN API integration best practice guide that you can go and read through when you're building an Aruba network with Link. It's step-by-step deployment guide how to go and build that and make it work as best it can possibly work. As well as that, we have a lot of other resources available as well that you can go and examine to deploy Link best practice. And I'll pass back now to Scott to finish off a little bit early, so hopefully it gives you more time for a coffee break.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So everyone who's here gets, if they go to our stand, which is just outside the Tech Hub, just tell them the OFC 305 code and everyone gets a free T-shirt. So just go, if you go there now, they'll be there waiting for you. There's spot prizes that are also being given out. You need to be wearing the shirt to get the spot prizes. And on Friday, we're giving away a Surface 3. So if you're wearing the shirt on Friday, it'll be given away in the Hub on the Microsoft stand. So make sure you're wearing the shirt, otherwise you don't get it. All right, so thanks for coming.
Are there any questions before we go? It doesn't matter where the controller is. So the controller has to be in the data path, obviously, if it's going to be managing access points. So that information is still going to be passed through to the controller. But remember, once the packet's marked, it then is continued on through all the various steps along the data path. Well, so what will happen in that case is, obviously, as per some of the slides that I showed you, right, when... If the packet is unmarked at the source and then it gets classified by the controller, that'll take place where the controller is initially. So initially there will be no classification that hits the controller, which is 200 kilometres away. But the return traffic will be classified accordingly and sent back with the right markings across whatever intermediate components are passing through that traffic as well. Does that make sense? Answer your question? Well, that's a separate question, right? So that's a forwarding question. So we do have a number of methods that we can forward traffic. That method is called tunnel mode, and that where everything does go back from the access point to the controller. We also have decrypt tunnel mode and also bridge mode. So in those scenarios, absolutely, you do want to consider what forwarding mode you set to forward traffic accordingly. And that would probably not be tunnel mode in that scenario. Any other questions? No more questions? Oh, one more? Yeah. Well, in terms of the SDN API, we, I believe, are still the only one that does that as certified. Others are
Aruba's the only
trying.
Certified one. I believe HP, they've got theirs as well, but they're not certified yet.
And other vendors are using heuristics method, not the SDN API. So pretty much everybody can classify voice traffic using heuristics, but getting all that level of detail around the call reporting and the call flows, that's where the value of the integration is. And also the automated quality of service policies you get with the integration. Yep. To the GSM? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So most definitely. I didn't go into that in any great detail. I probably should have spent a bit more time on that. But so the concept is that the question was, by the way, seamless roaming between access points. Is that what we get with the solution? And the answer is yes. So the whole idea of deploying a central controlled wireless system is that there is a lot of intelligence in the software layer about understanding where clients are and how they roam and speeding up the roaming process as well and doing all those sorts of things associated with that. So the whole idea is to minimise the roam time when you're moving between access points. Some of the smarts I mentioned previously help you do that. Things such as, in our case, we have what we call virtual beacon reports that are sent between access points, and those reports tell the access points what clients are connected, what state they're in, and when they're likely to be roaming, because we can kind of, in some cases, encourage the client to roam to a better access point when it's getting some other things like poor signal and so on. So that's inherently built into the solution, seamless roaming and very, very fast roaming. And what we see with a correctly deployed system that has been, you know, configured and tuned correctly, that roaming is undetectable between on a voice call. Okay. Any more questions? Got plenty of time. Anything? Not personal, but you know, just about wireless or link. In terms of what? Yep, sure. Okay, so we have two architectures. We have a controller-based architecture and a virtual controller-based architecture. And both of those, by the way, support Link through the SDN API integration. What I was talking about in this presentation was primarily the controllers, but all those rules really apply to the virtual control solution. Now, fundamentally, the difference is between us and Aerohive is that we can deploy instant, which is in the instant solution, the controller function runs inside the access point. It's not cloud-based. It runs inside the AP. So we can deploy an instant cluster of, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10 access points, completely independent of any cloud service whatsoever, any manager whatsoever. It can run and be managed from the virtual controller through the web interface, or we can manage it from our Airwave platform. And by the way, what I will show you on the slides here was predominantly Airwave screenshots. Okay. Or we have another management method, which is a cloud system we call Central. However, you can run instant completely without any of that at all, just on its own. So I can go out and purchase 3 access points, plug them into the wide network, they'll form a cluster, and they'll be completely managed and autonomous from that perspective. That's all you need to do. Okay. The other thing that's different, I suppose, well, it's not so much different, it's something worth noting, is that we don't have two separate lines of product in that. We've got our controller-based and virtual controller-based. The same software that we write for the controller is used as the base to build the code for the virtual controller. So you'll find that, you know, if we release feature XYZ on the controller, within 3 to 4 months, feature XYZ comes out in instant because it's the same code base. So it really is the same product. It's not a different product that's got different architecture, a different code base. You know, I think that's also something that's quite unique. Any more questions? Okay, looks like we're done. So enjoy your coffee break, and please come to our stand if you want to ask any more questions, or I'll be around here for a little while afterwards to have a one-on-one chat with anyone.